Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm doing my first in-person interview in over a year, and it is with one of your favorite guests, one of my favorite guests, proprietress of Semicolon, yes. Chicago bookstore, Danielle Mullen. Danny, yes. Oh my gosh, you were back on, you were on the show in May.
Yes.
We forged, I feel like, such a wonderful internet relationship.
Yes, we did.
And she texted me a couple days ago and said, I'm in LA for 3 days.
Let's
and I said, I will go wherever you are. Let's do this. I am so excited that we're here together. Hello.
This is a vibe. You are my favorite person. It's kind of like you don't really exist and then you're here. And it's like, she does exist. And this is the best thing I've ever felt since the cookies downstairs. Yeah. The cookies downstairs.
We just came from downstairs where Danny was indulging in some cookies. Since then, I'm the best thing.
Yes, since then, you are the best thing and you will remain so because everything else is shitty and we recognize that.
It's so true. This is the highlight. I feel like this is such a, you're vaccinated, I'm vaccinated.
Yes.
It feels so nice.
It feels like what the world is supposed to feel like.
This is what I'm looking
forward
to.
Can we sit in front of one another and talk?
Yeah.
And not be like, I'm going to get COVID tomorrow.
Right.
And
I'm going to kill you and you're going to kill me.
You're going to kill me.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice. And I was thinking, you know, I'm not so excited to go back to the hustle because I think that we were all sort of running ourselves into the ground. And there was something really nice about the last year in that, like, it was just very slow. But this is what I'm so excited about. One person just sitting in a room without jumping through these like logistical hoops.
Yes. And without, we don't have a sheet in between us. There's no plexiglass here.
And we're going to be okay because the CDC said.
First
it's
of
okay.
all,
They're
let's resting. Be clear. The CDC don't damn know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they said it.
It's questionable.
Yeah, it's questionable. I got my dad a mask for Christmas, like in his stocking, that just had little cartoon Fauci's on it. It was very cute.
I love that.
It was really sweet. I will send you the link. The person who made it is one of our listeners,
yes.
Osam Sows. And the nurse who gave my dad his vaccine goes, oh, who's on the mask?
Oh,
and my dad goes,
good to
me.
Know.
My dad just said, me.
First of all, I like your dad for that.
Sure.
Because, girl, you don't even, you know what?
Yeah, I know. It's just like, okay, you know, I have a few questions. We should all be able to identify Fauci.
We should all be able to identify him at this point. And you can't, and you're the one giving me my vaccine.
Right.
And now it's a lot happening.
There's a lot.
I'm uncomfortable. It's like, it just makes me feel bad again about the bitch who did my lashes because I knew better. You know, you get that hint of a thing. I knew better.
I know. Well, so you guys weren't here, but so I walk into the hotel to meet Dan. I just need to like run everyone through this.
Oh.
She's like texting me. I'm in an Uber on the way to the hotel she's at. She's texting me. She's like, okay, I'm sitting at the bar, like having cookies and ice cream. And I'm like, amazing. It's like 1 p.m. on a Tuesday.
It's perfect.
I come in. We're like, oh my God, hiya. Look down at the table. There's cookies. There's ice cream. There's a drink.
Yes.
There's also a pile of mink eyelashes.
Yes.
And she's like, I just went to get my eyelashes done, like not 30 minutes ago. I'm sitting at the table. I rub my eye. And this is not Danny's fault. Your eyelashes, when they're on, they're on.
When they are on.
When they're on, they're on for 3 months.
My eyelashes are usually popping.
And she's like, and they just fell off. That's 4 hours. Or 2 hours,
$400. 2 hours, $400.
I don't
and
like
my
that.
Lashes are in a pile on top of my mask on my lunch table. And that is the problem with life right now. Yeah. It's fully representative of what life looks like.
That is, we should have taken a picture, still portrait of life. Eyelashes. I know the poor waiter was like, everything okay?
And it's
you're like,
not,
no.
And it's not, because you see me peeling my eyelashes off of my eye and looking concerned, and you ask if everything is okay. And it's not okay. And he's a white male. And it all makes sense, because you're not... You have to be able to put two and two together and get four and not ask questions that don't make sense.
Yeah. If I say it's not okay, are you going to help
me? Are you going to help me? Because what's the next thing? Right.
Like me saying no and you going, okay.
What next?
Right.
And I should have tested. I mean, I usually test people on that.
You really should have been like, no, I'm not. Do you have any experience with mink eyelashes? Okay, another martini then, I guess.
This is all you can provide. Right.
Oh, the poor white man. They try so hard.
They're the ones who ask what's wrong with the world, and it's like, have you paid attention?
It's like, it's you.
It was the same. Right. It was the same question. Are you okay? AKA, what's wrong with the world? And it's like, everything.
How much time do you have?
My eyelashes are on a mask. This guy just got shot in the head by the police. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's all wrong.
It's a lot. We're in a pandemic. There's a lot happening. Wow. It really is. The first thing I said to you, LA, it's weird.
It's weird.
I can give you recommendations on recommendations in New York. LA, got nothing for you.
You know, this is one of my favorite places. I lived here for a couple years out of college, and I thought it was the coolest thing. And it is cool when you're out of college and you're young and you're fit and you're sexy and when you're no longer that. And when you're not that, It's weird. People treat you accordingly.
And that's what I'm saying. So, you got engaged since last we saw.
I have.
So your girlfriend, now your fiance, Kim. The thing about being in our age box, I like to say, over 30.
Yes.
Is that a lot of people were like, when I said I'm moving to LA, they were like, what cool part of LA? I'm like, no, I'm not 23.
I'm trying to live
a suburban life. Like, get me a house.
Yes.
I'd like a backyard and I want to drive to Target.
Especially,
and that's going to be
from New York.
Yeah. I want the whole opposite of what I had.
The whole opposite.
But you're right. Like, when you're hot and you're young, you have to do yourself the favor of living in LA in the hot young places.
You have to.
But I didn't experience, I can't imagine coming back, like if I had an experience in LA at like 24, 25, 26 and coming back here now, I can't even imagine what I would think.
You know, it's interesting. I had a ball then, and then now I have a ball because I have enough money to do so. Because that's the other difference in LA. You don't have to be hot if you have money.
Yeah.
And it still works for me.
Do you know that I've said this before on the podcast, but two of my friends who grew up in LA and who have since moved back from Brooklyn in the last year told me a theory, which is in LA, if you are not like LA hot, meaning like a TikTok 17-year-old, people actually will pay more attention to you in spaces because they're like, she's made it because of some other reason.
Some other reason.
She's not hot.
I go into bars. This is how I met Oprah. That's a whole other conversation.
Wait, hold on. You can't just drop this.
How I met Oprah. Sitting in a bar in WeHo. Everybody's curious as to why I'm there because... only black person.
Oh my
anyway,
God.
In 10
when
miles.
Was this?
This was maybe 4 years ago.
Wow.
And in walks Oprah's people, and they're by Oprah, and I'm just having my drink because I don't care.
Uh-huh.
And the next thing you know, we're talking about whiskey.
Stop.
My southern heart.
Oh my gosh.
And it all makes sense.
The only two black women in
the
joint.
Two black
you and
people
Oprah.
In the joint. And neither of us are LA sexy, okay? We give auntie vibes. Now, auntie vibes are important in the black community, but not anywhere else.
Right, not in WeHo. I get it. Wait, that's amazing.
It's dope. And we have had a great time ever since.
Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, Oprah.
Listen, Oprah's cool. Like, a lot of black people don't like her. I think she's fine.
Is that true?
It's very true.
Why?
It is a lot to do with the fact that, you know, black people always want to tell other black people what they should do with their money.
Okay.
If you're not giving enough money back to black specific items,
yeah,
then they don't like you because you're not spending your money correctly. And I'm like, nobody else gives their money to Black specific items.
Yeah.
If you had it, you'd be doing what you want to do with your money too.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how I see it. But I understand.
Doesn't Oprah do that though? It's just it's not enough.
It's not enough because it's Oprah. Yeah. And it's like Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos is going to give you $10 million, but is it enough?
Right.
No.
Right. That's like me being like, here's $1.50.
You know what I'm saying? And like, it's the same people. It's the same reason people dislike him. So
I understand.
Same difference.
I don't love Jeff Bezos for lots of reasons, though I do like Amazon. I'm so conflicted about, yes, you know. But Oprah I love. But also people, I mean, the thing about Oprah and Jeff Bezos is on the level of money, it's hard to understand why anyone should have that much money. So I think that's where a lot of that anger probably comes.
Jeff Bezos is an interesting guy to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind him. And as a bookseller, an independent bookseller especially, I'm supposed to hate him, right? Everybody hates him. I don't mind him that much because I think a lot of independent booksellers see him as our competition, and he is absolutely not. He's killing us. He is not our competition. What? We don't
He's
compete.
Our murderer.
He's our murderer. We don't compete with him at all.
Wait,
we
speak couldn't more on
compete.
That. Yeah.
Like I have a big thing about that. We know Amazon started as online booksellers.
Yeah.
It was necessary at a time. They changed the game. He's the reason why we can sell books online.
That's interesting.
So I don't think he's a good guy, but I think he's forward thinking, and I will never see him as my competition. He is trying to move mass quantities of things that I don't care to move. What I want to do is sit in my little ass bookstore and talk to you about actual books.
Sure.
I want you to have an experience. I want you to love books when you come to me. And that makes him completely not my competition. We're not even trying to do the same thing.
I like that.
And it's as simple as that. And so I think seeing him as our competition is actively working against what we're trying to build as independent booksellers.
Mm-hmm.
It only makes sense that we should not care about that. He's going to stop selling books soon. He's not even making money on books.
Yeah,
he's not trying to compete with us or shut us down. He's just trying to make his money. We are the cool kids on the block because we actually have relationships with people. And to say that he's our competition is disregarding the relationships that we've built. And that's pretty trash. And so I don't do that. Like, I never consider him competition. I don't mind him at all. He stay in his lane, I'm gonna stay in mine.
Wow. That's such a perspective I haven't heard before.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna ask you, because I know that people, that a thing that you get a lot of, and that obviously annoys you because it would annoy me too, is people being like, why is the Obama book $38 at the bookstore? I can get it for $17 on Amazon.
And you absolutely can. And if that $17 makes a difference for you, you absolutely should.
Okay. And that's sort of your response. Okay.
That's my response. If you cannot afford to spend money to support an independent bookstore, don't do it. I'm not going to beg you to do it because you're not the type of business that I want.
Yeah.
I want people that care about my business still being in existence.
Yeah.
And if you are that person, then you'll pay the extra $12 and shut up.
Okay. How's business been?
It has been weird.
Really?
Business is weird.
Uh-huh.
We are in this space where it's like everybody wants to work with a Black company.
Yeah.
And it's nice. That's nice of you, but nothing that you want to do represents what Blackness looks like.
Okay.
Or what bookselling looks like. You know, books you can pair with literally anything. So we've had offers like, you want to make a shoe? And it's like, not really.
Yeah. Because
why?
Yeah.
We don't even wear these cool kid shoes.
Yeah.
And so business has just now been, I'm glad that everybody sees us. I'm glad that everybody knows us. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that the people who are interested in books come to us to buy their books. I am not happy about being made to be like the forefront of Black bookselling because I don't care about a lot of things that people really care about.
Mm.
And to say that would put me in a position where I'm constantly defending myself, which I don't really mind that either, but because I have, you know, your opinions are your opinions, and I don't throw my opinions about things out there. I'm sorry, I'm trying to talk, and your ring is blinding me. And why is your ring so big? Why is it so big? What was he trying to prove when he bought you that ring?
This isn't my engagement ring, actually. So I was just saying to Dan, so the engagement ring I have is a family heirloom, and I don't like to wear it because it freaks me out.
Fair.
Because I walk past like a Subway grate or something, and I'm like,
and then it's going down.
So I bought that. This is vintage. It's gold. It's not real diamond, but it's like a real gold, kind of like
okay.
old. I paid like a few hundred dollars for it. Like, it's legit. It's not okay. like a turn your finger green, but it's big and I like it.
It is big. It's huge.
I'm going to put it away.
It is distracting my entire. I'm like, what was he trying to prove with this? He's like, get here, stay here, shut up. Okay? I don't want to talk about this.
10 miles away.
10 miles away.
It. Well, your ring is something to talk about, too.
You know, she did her thing with this. She did. She really did. You know, I don't like the foo-foo things. And no. I also love vintage. So it's actually, it's square cut.
I love square
cut. It is a vintage diamond, and it is my favorite thing in the world. I can throw boxes of books, which is what I do for a living.
Yep.
I can get paint on it. I can do everything, and it has perfect clarity, and I still look like a bad bitch.
It's beautiful.
Man.
She did a good proposal too, right?
She did a great proposal. I didn't know I was being proposed to.
That's funny.
I got taken out to get drinks on a Sunday. It's Sunday, we're getting brunch and drinks, right? So I get back home drunk and my family is there. And what is everybody doing here when I'm drunk? And
you're like, Kim, what
are you doing? Why would they be here? It's Sunday. I'm drunk. And she'd been saying she was going to buy me a boat. I've been asked for a boat for years.
I want your less.
You
Sign
know,
me
and
up.
my well financially planned engineer was like, okay, I got you a boat. I'm going to give your boat to you on Sunday. So I'm like, yeah. And we had a view from our terrace to the harbor. So she takes me outside and she points down to the harbor. She's like, your boat's down there. And I'm like, which one? Let's go get on the boat. Drunk me. And then I turn around and she has a mini toy boat.
Oh.
There's a toy boat with a ring on it. So now I'm pissed because I'm like, this better not be my boat. Okay, I still want the boat.
Yeah. You're like, cool ring.
Cool ring. Where's the boat? And then it's her and I. And then I turn around and there's balloons and there's people and people are clapping. And I'm like, what is going on? And where is the boat?
How long did it take you to process?
About 30 minutes. The proposal was over and I'm like, so there's no boat.
Like, let me just get this straight.
There won't be a boat coming. Okay, fine. The ring is fine. This is great. Thank you.
I'm so like, excited to marry you.
So excited.
What's boat. The timeline on the boat?
Are we going to do the boat thing? Should I start just saving money to get it myself? What is this going to look like? But I am super happy to be spending the rest of my life with my absolute favorite person.
We love Kim from from Instagram.
Yeah, she's perfect. She's the best person in the world.
Oh, I love that.
I know, that's crazy, right?
No, it's great.
To actually like your person, it never happens.
Honestly, it's so rare. We were talking before we started recording just about how like crazy the last year has been because yes. It's just been like a nonstop hangout fest with whoever you've chosen to
whoever
spend your
you've
life
chosen.
But you actually get out of the house quite a lot because your store has been open.
Yeah, my store has been open. We have been at work.
Yeah.
We have been constantly COVID testing to not kill each other because
yep.
there's the COVID with the killing again.
Yep.
And we have been open and we have been meeting all kinds of really cool people.
That's awesome.
Like anybody who will venture outside during COVID, we kind of want to know you.
Yeah. What books? Last time we talked, we were talking about like the hood classics.
Yes.
Are you what are people coming in to read now? Because we're gonna segue to a book I know you do not carry in your store.
Girl,
wash your
speaking
face.
Speaking of girl, but no. So everybody's really into Bell Hooks' All About Love. That book is life changing, and I've been telling people that for 10 years. Nobody
I was
listens.
Say something new.
And now all the bookstagrammers are like, Bell Hooks' All About Love, and it's like, thanks guys.
Awesome.
It's awesome. And so we're buying 50 copies of that a week, and it's gone. You
Can
know?
You tell me a little bit about the logistics of running an independent bookstore where it's like, how do you? I just, it's weird. I just saw this migraine appear in Danny's
up.
Head. Is it like, do people come in and you, like, how do you know that it's time to order 50 copies of Bell Hooks?
You have to pay attention. There are, you know, we're a small space. We're yep. only 1,200 square feet. We're never going to have everything at one time.
Right.
We can order
especially
it.
Especially if it's 10-year-old book.
Yeah, if it's 10-year-old book. Mm-hmm. But books are cyclical. And so books go in and out depending on what's happening in the world. And COVID has made everybody want to love people more, which is great. It's awesome. But
really, really believable. Danny. She's like, it's great. Fine. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Where's the book?
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
This book was printed 10 years ago
yeah.
and it's no longer in print. Is anybody going to print
that's
it?
That's interesting.
Precisely.
Huh.
How to be an anti-racist with all the white people and the sad people were reading. it just come out. A lot of those anti-racist books were not available because nobody bought them when they came out.
Right. You have to have to go into multiple printings.
You have to go into multiple prints. And who's going to pay for that? Like, and so these books technically end up not existing anymore. Wow. And you have to wait. And people didn't understand why you have to wait 3 months for a book. It's because people have to literally print it.
So how does that printing, like, so the publishing companies end up making that call?
They make that call. They have to make that call.
And are they fielding requests from you being
from
like,
booksellers? From now Instagram,
sure.
Facebook, Twitter.
Yep.
When they see a demand for it, they're like, we're only going to put our money into this if people are going to buy it.
Wow.
You have to see the demand first, and then it's going to take them a couple months to get it done for you.
How many copies of How to Be an Anti-Racist do you feel like you sold?
Girl, between the people coming in the store.
Also white and fragility.
Don't even get me started on Robin. But between all of, I think we moved easily 50,000 copies ourselves.
Whoa.
Ourselves. We had corporate orders for 5,000, corporate orders for 10,000, corporate orders for 6,000. And the people coming in the store to buy 50 at a time. These are regular people buying 50 copies of a hardcover book at a time. That never happens.
Do you think it makes them less racist to have 50 copies of How to Be Anti-Racist in their house?
I think if they are the kind of person, which a lot of these people did, who are handing books out in the middle of Millennium Park, then do it. You are not less racist. You are just more active
just
than the other racists.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Okay. So for context, I've written books. And the your expectations have to be very, very low.
Very low.
Because getting somebody to read, say, your BuzzFeed article is free. And so you see all those things, those articles have millions of clicks because it's free.
Yeah.
But to get someone to say, I am going to spend $10, $20, $25.
Going to go to the store or go to this website link and buy
and
this
with my
book.
Money.
Yes.
It's just, you can say for every 100 people who are like, I'm totally going to buy your book. Maybe one of them actually buys
one
the book.
One to two.
We sold, I think, 2,000 copies of Hey Ladies in the first week that it came out, which was great. It was a debut author. And I was very happy with it. It was weird because I was like, that seems bad. It seems
but
low.
It's good.
But they were like,
thing.
It's good. So to know that from one bookstore alone, one independent bookstore, which also like, you know, I know you don't consider yourself competition to Amazon, but then you can only imagine how many people bought it on
Amazon. Absolutely.
You pushed 50,000
books. And that's on the low end. And that's just BSing and not really doing the numbers. And a lot of it came from corporate orders.
That's amazing.
All the corporate people are like, get these in the hands of everybody so we look less racist.
Sure.
And get it from a black bookstore. And we're like, all right, whatever.
I actually have mine in like a glass box in my house so that when people walk in, they're like, okay.
Okay, she's not as racist as the rest
she's
of them.
She's still white, but okay,
but
we'll give her some credit.
I have a signed version.
Nice.
And I was like, this isn't for me. And it's funny, before everything went down last year and that nobody's at work, it had to be like April of last year.
Yeah.
I have a picture and I left it on my Instagram just for reference.
Yeah.
And I'm reading White Fragility and somebody comments on my post, this book is not for black people. I was like, absolutely not. Only for a month later, the book completely sells out. Black people, white people, Indian people, everybody buys that book. And I'm like, you would think you would buy a book about white people acting up by a black person, but
yeah, how do you feel about White Fragility?
First of all, the book ain't that good. She makes light of racism. Like,
I mean, it centers white people.
It centers white, and that is why racism exists, if we forget that. Now, if you're perfectly happy in your racist little bubble, and you don't want to confront these things, then that's the book for you, and it looks like you care because of the title. You don't care. We know you don't care. Anybody who's read the book knows you don't care.
Sure.
But, you know, and it's written by a non-black person. How can a non-black person tell me about racism?
Sure.
Ever.
Do you feel like it was, I don't know. I feel like there's been so much debate about it. I think it was one of those books that I also bought right at the beginning because everyone was just scrambling and buying all the books
something.
To do something for sure. I bought it. I bought them all.
Yeah.
But do you feel like maybe I have a hard time knowing that she's made so much money off of it. But I also, it's like, it's not a black person's job to have that conversation with white people, but maybe it's not the right conversation.
It's not the right. There are black people whose job it is to have
sure,
those conversations.
Pay those
support,
people.
Pay those people.
Sure.
Because not every black person want to talk to you about how you feel, how you're hurt by racism. We don't care. But
fair.
There are black people who do this for a living
yeah.
and they have all the PhDs and everything behind it and yeah. they get ignored for freaking Robin? No. No. She's not even that good of a speaker. No.
Who would you call in instead of Robin?
I'm calling in Abram.
Yeah.
Abram is going to make you feel the things. Abram speaks like, have you seen that thing on Netflix and Will Smith is doing the, it's about racism and how, mm-mm, you know, the community has grown. And it talks about Frederick Douglass. It starts out talking about Frederick Douglass and mm-hmm, how he was a great orator. He orated so well that even though he was a slave who ran away, he had white people on his side. And that's amazing. And that is how Abram orates.
Interesting.
And it's amazing.
Nice.
It's amazing. So you got to watch that thing.
I will.
I don't remember the name of the thing, but just look for Will Smith on Netflix. And it's always in the number one box.
It's not Hitch. It's the other movie.
It's a documentary.
Okay.
And they call in Samuel L. Jackson. They have all the hard hitters in there. And I just love it.
That's nice.
It's so good.
Okay, I'll watch it. Well, I'm so obsessed with, like, on the topic of bookstores and what people are asking for. Danny does not carry Rachel Hollis's books. And semicolon.
Is Rachel the new Karen? Oh, is the name Rachel the new Karen?
I think it might be.
You got the fake black Rachel. Like, it's a lot of Rachels that pop. But this isn't Rachel Hollis's first time.
No, it's not. That's why it's crazy.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. You really feel like this. And that's why I'm like, you know, I never carried her books, because that whole girl, comma, wash your face, they would never have published a book with that title by a black woman. Ever. And so she
and if they had, it wouldn't have ever been in Target.
Ever.
It would,
and so she takes these black colloquialisms and decides to make it her own in order to sell books. And mm-hmm, her publisher is right there with her like, this'll do it. And I hated that.
She said sis in that video.
And I say sis on a very regular basis, and it's not a cute sis. It's like, you call a bitch sis before you cuss her out. Like,
it's the no offense of being black.
And if you knew that, you wouldn't have used that terminology, but you don't know that because you just steal these colloquialisms and you'd be like, I'm going to use it how I want to.
Yeah.
And wash your face. Girl, listen. And first of all,
she's really, Danny's literally like resituating on her. Yeah, exactly.
Girl, if you've never had a black girl say girl to you, you don't even know the tea that it sets up for the conversation.
Yeah.
The conversation that was had in any of those books was not enough tea for you to even give it this title. So you saying you like Harriet Tubman?
Malala, right.
Girl,
that there were so many levels of her. If anyone has managed to escape the week without hearing about this, I mean, honestly, more power to you, but you're gonna hear about it right now. Basically, she, like, Rachel Hollis is like someone who I'm like, who? And then you remember, you've seen her books in Target,
you've seen her little dirty face,
yeah,
you've seen it all.
Girl, wash your face, like, all of her books. And she's like one of those people who's like, I'm a coach, my life coach, but with no, I don't really know, like, what.
No, nothing.
Who told you were a life coach?
The people whose life she's coached to hell.
Like, you don't know how to wash your face yet? Start with
There's
a soap,
very specific
a
group of people that she's speaking to, and we know who that group is.
Yes.
And it's the same group. I saw you going off on somebody on one of her, on her apology posts.
I did.
I'm on Instagram. I'm like, this girl is crazy.
I'm like, I'm going to get involved. It was someone who was like, you don't need to apologize because you're like, whatever you said, it wasn't racist. And it's like, who are you?
And it's a white girl saying it.
It's a white girl.
Like, the white girl's like, no, it wasn't racist at all.
Yeah.
And we know what you were saying. Who is we? The rest of the racists?
Yes. So basically, Rachel Hollis makes this video, and I guess someone was like, you know, it's unrelatable that you have someone clean your house. And girl, get a therapist. That is what therapy is for. Don't go on Instagram.
That's all.
So she makes this video that's like, no one works harder than me. I get up at 4 a.m. Like, of course, like, this, also, this woman, you know, she cleans my toilets. She reduced her, the woman who cleans her house reduced her to the woman who cleans my toilets.
Absolutely. She doesn't even have a name.
Yeah, she doesn't have a name. Like, you reduce her to the probably the job that everyone, no one wants to clean their own toilets. I get it. Most of us do.
Yeah.
But if you have somebody come to your house, if you're not a job creator, like,
you're not a job
creator. That's another human.
That's a human being who is helping you out. And you should be paying them because I think your toilets are pretty dirty. Yeah, like,
girl, wash your toilet. And she, but there was like, that video was the worst. Then she said, sis, okay. But then the caption was like, Harriet Tubman, Oprah, Malala, Frida Kahlo, spelled wrong. Something, some other people. And then it was like, all of us are unrelatable. I'm like, what? You're not Harriet Tubman.
First of all, you're not unrelatable. Yeah. I know 100 different bitches like you.
Unlikable.
Unlikable, but absolutely not unrelatable.
It was so gross. It was just gross. And like, look, I had a woman, Shelly, who I loved, who came and cleaned my house, and she's the best. And she told me she used to work on Wall Street. She much preferred cleaning houses.
Yeah, you don't have to think about work when you leave.
Yeah, she loved it. We still talk. She's still in New York. Great friendship. Exchange Christmas presents. You know, paid bonuses.
Yeah,
you don't have to be embarrassed about the team you have
that helps make your life easier.
Exactly, but Absolutely. You do have to be embarrassed if you don't treat them
correctly. To say the lady who cleans my toilet,
disgusting, and also like. You've made your whole brand about like empowered women and like
girl boss shit. And you're not empowering women. Yeah.
And you have this invisible kind of like labor system that you don't even recognize and lift up.
And I've never considered her. I want to learn how to be a boss from a boss.
Right.
And she hasn't built shit.
No.
Let's just be honest. She hasn't done anything. So why would I let you tell me how to be a boss? Yeah. I don't want your information.
I don't want your life.
And she feels, and so when she mentions these other women who have actually done things, it's interesting that she feels comfortable enough to feel, she honestly feels like she's done some shit.
Malala was shot in the head for going to school and trying to have an education as a woman. Rachel, what? But the thing that made it so, I think, heartwarming for me was that she has one, at the time, had 1.7 million followers. I think at this time has 1.6. I think all of the comments, even after she deleted Rachel Cargill's amazing comment, even after she deleted Lovey's amazing comment, were still all people being like, what the fuck
are you talking about? What are you talking about?
And that, I don't know that a year ago now, that would have been the same reaction.
I do agree. I do agree that people have gotten bolder and calling out the bullshit with anybody. This could be your fave. She was never my fave, but whatever.
I didn't know who she was. Right. Sorry, Target. I was like, I already washed my face. I'm good.
I got it.
Thanks, Rach.
But, you know, she, like, people being emboldened to tell the truth, and you see bullshit for what it is, and all those microaggressions that Black women are always talking about.
And that's what it is.
That's what it is.
That's what
that is. That is a huge slap in the face for the work that we do every day. What are you talking about, girl?
She, and I saw a bunch of, I don't know Rachel Hollis's life, but from what I gleaned from a lot of people, and I did say,
girl,
I think it was a lot of
nobody
white women
cares
too.
About her life. Let's no one cares. Be 100.
But she married a Disney executive.
Didn't she work hard.
Yeah, right. Where'd your heart burn? Yeah, look. If I love my husband. If he had millions of dollars, I'd love him still. Danny's looking for a boat on her. You know what I mean?
I'm
like, money's great.
Money's cool.
But you didn't. You have to understand privilege. That's what this whole fucking year has been. Like, having this conversation.
But why would she have that conversation when she truly believes that she's doing the thing?
And then came her apology.
And girl, I looked at that apology and I was like, I'm not even in the mood for this.
She blamed her team.
It's always somebody else.
Yeah, it's always like my team.
This isn't the first time that she's done this and blamed her team. If I was her team, I'd quit right now.
Yeah.
And be like, do it, Rachel. Do your thing.
Do your team. Who's your team? If I were her team, I was like, I almost wanted to be like, if you work on Team Rachel Hollis, like, reach out. I would keep you anonymous. I would like to hear some tea.
I just want to hear
some
tea.
I have a few questions.
Girl, let me hear the tea.
Yeah. Yeah, girl. Like, some real tea. The thing, too, also about that apology was she missed the mark 100%. The biggest sentence I saw in there was, by talking about my own successes, I diminished the successes and achievements of other
and
women.
And no,
That's not what you did.
That's not what you did. You can't diminish that. Your success ain't great enough.
Right.
hoe?
What you
like? Because you gotta call her a hoe. Yeah. She's done enough to be called a hoe at this point.
Danny's out with the guns.
I've had enough.
But she literally said, she was like, no one works harder than me. I get up at 4 a.m. Do you know how many people get up at 4 a.m. and work three jobs to get food on the table,
not
to pay for education?
Where you get to tell people who believe that you're actually doing the thing,
yeah,
that you're doing the thing, and I could do it. You should do it too.
Yeah.
That's not a real job.
And there's nothing embarrassing about cleaning houses. That is a great job, way to earn a living. But everyone out there who cleans houses knows there are some people they work for that treat them correctly,
absolutely,
that care about them,
absolutely,
that care about their well-being,
absolutely,
that have gotten to know them as people, because they're in your house.
You're in my house.
They know who they like to work for and who treats them like shit.
Listen, we have great house cleaners and we love them. We have house cleaners, we have poop picker uppers because I don't like to do it, we have window cleaners, we have landscapers and gardeners, and everybody knows that if you need something, let me know and I can call them all by name. And I love yes. talking to all of them, and I sit outside with them like, okay, you want me to help, what you want me to do?
Yeah,
because they exist. Their existence makes my existence easier. And
yeah.
why would I not treat you like the star that you are when you make my existence easier?
You are not doing them a favor by paying them to do
it.
They're doing their
job. They're doing their job.
And you are respecting them by paying them, by working with, you know, if Shelly, she's not feeling well, we still pay her. Like, if you got to build that in.
You have to do
and
that.
And I was very appreciative of all the conversations. So I'm embedded. Oh, you'll like this. I'm embedded in the Upper East Side Mama's Facebook group.
Oh.
I don't have no kids.
Why are you in that group?
I have no kids.
And those bitches are crazy.
They're insane.
Mm.
I got in there like maybe 6 years ago because when I was a reporter, I was like, I want to write a big story. I want to write a big book. And I've stayed because I like to keep them in check. I'm
I
like, I just want to make sure. Oh, I love it.
They're going to kick you out.
They're definitely going to kick me out. Someone's going to be like, I know her. She has no kids.
Yeah,
and
right.
She lives in L.A.
And she lives in L.A., so I don't know why she gets to be in this
but
group.
But there, what I saw so much, especially in the beginning of COVID, and even more so after June, like after everyone kind of started coming out and being like, I'm white and I am racist and I'm going to not be racist anymore. There were a lot of people who were like, you know, my nanny can't come because of COVID. Like, should I still pay her? And I was happy to see that the majority of people were like, yeah.
Yeah. It's
you still pay
COVID.
Her. Right. This is a pandemic. Like, and also, you're an Upper East Side mama. No one has more money than you. Like,
that's,
we all
and
know.
And the fact that it's mama instead of mom. And see,
mm-hmm.
that's the... I've had enough.
I know.
You are stressing me out. We talked about this.
You show up and you
stress me. And I am in my very expensive suite with my expansive views.
I crashed.
And you are
I crashed.
You are stressing me out.
You know what, though? It was... And we decided to do this even before Rachel Hollis got out her
that's
sis.
True. That listen. No.
And I said, we're talking shit, so just
we're
get ready
shit.
But I love it. So people come in, who comes in? It's white women.
It's all
and you say no.
I say absolutely. Don't ask me for Rachel. Don't ask me for Rupee.
Okay.
Don't ask me for either of them hoes. Don't ask me for American Dirt. Don't ever ask me for that. I will say hell no, see you later. And people have learned that, and they likely hate us because of it, but some people, the other people who have sense, love us because of it.
Yes.
Because you have to understand, if we as black people or black booksellers especially, and we've read everything, if we have a problem with an author, a story, and anything, I could make money by selling this to you, and I need that money.
Yeah.
Trust.
Right.
But if I won't even sell it, you should see that there's an obvious issue.
And American Dirt is the book that was not written by a Mexican story of crossing the border by a white woman.
Okay. Like, she, why are you writing about
excellent?
You don't even have to cross the border.
Do you ever have conversations with publishing companies or the people who are actually giving money to these authors to write these books? Do you ever reach out? No, I don't bother reaching out
because it's just gonna make me angry.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna say the PR thing that they have written for you to avoid these type of controversies, but publishers also fully believe that controversy sells books. They recognize that.
Yeah.
This is not a game, and all of these things are very purposefully done. So to give that my energy, I skip it, and I just won't sell the book.
Right.
And there may be 1,000 stores who will, but I won't.
Okay.
And we don't have to talk about it.
I love that.
Stupid.
And that's that on that.
And that's that on that.
I really respect that. I think that's amazing.
Again, we can make a ton of money.
Like, I think you are making a ton of money. We're making a ton more.
We can make a ton more by doing things that are morally corrupt, morally inept. But you that's can what I like to call it
now.
I sleep beautifully. Yeah. I sleep so well. I get a solid 4 to 6 hours. I am good.
That's all you need. Just that 4 hours.
4 hours.
Just like the doctors say, 4 hours. You never really hear that, but it's all you need. 4 hours.
And who trusts these doctors anyway? That's a whole other thing.
Who's a doctor?
What does it even take?
Thank you for having that conversation with me. I'm so happy we got to have it. I think there's a long way people have to go, you know, obviously in this whole conversation, but I really do feel like there has been some momentum to the Black Lives Matter, you know, inherent racism conversation. And I saw that in these comments, like a lot of white women being like, what the fuck?
Yes. And that's great. But I also saw a lot of those same white women that voted for Trump being like,
it's fine.
It's fine. Nobody can tell
love
you.
Love you, girl.
Love you, girl.
Love you, sis.
Love you, sis.
Killing. Yeah. Why can't I say sis? I have a sister. I call her sis. There's always someone. Be like, so I can't call my sister sis.
There's always a thing. And it's like, you're acting like you don't know what my issue is. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But I know you know, because if you didn't know, you wouldn't act like you don't know what the issue is.
It's also those, you can also tell none of those people know any black people, because if you ever said sis in front of a black person, you never say it again.
You never say
and
it
again.
And
that's when you would learn
it
your
would
lesson.
Never occur. And so I know that you don't have black friends.
Yeah.
Or if you do have black friends, they're what I like to call the acceptables. So they're very white praising and very white adjacent. And it's like, I'm not like those people. And it's like, well, these people, you got what you got.
Yeah, there is a spectrum. Like, right, black people aren't a monolith. White people are, though.
They absolutely are. They're all the same.
So I got to tell you. So now that we have been, you know, when we first had our first conversation, that was the beginning. We didn't really know anything about each other.
Nope.
But now we follow each other on Instagram. Every time Danny's posting about how she's like, Kimmy's rolling her eyes in the background, I'm like, that's my marriage. And I feel like we know each other. We get each other.
Yeah.
What I have noticed about you in the last year is that you, I think, I don't know exactly what your love language is in terms of receiving, but I think
money.
You're so
no.
Well,
what do
same
you mean?
Girl. But you're a gift giver.
I am a gift giver.
I watch you. I'm like, I want to be in her inner circle. Those people are opening MacBooks.
Yes. I buy my team MacBooks.
Yes.
I buy my friends Gucci bags.
I know.
I buy Telfar bags for people. I give bags away. I am a gift giver because I like to receive gifts. And I notice that so many people bring me things.
I know.
They pay attention to me. They come into my store and they're like, I got you this piece of jewelry, which is nuts, right?
Okay. But I know, and you have that conversation. You have a very honest conversation where you're like, I have money now. I'm going to live. And I'm going to also share that with other people.
And I give 50% of my yearly income away. Half of my yearly income away. And so, you know what? Even if I didn't, even if it was 10%, even if it was whatever, the point is that if you have enough to give away, give it away.
Wow. Yeah.
And I truly believe in that. I believe in that personally.
And it comes back
to you. It comes back.
Clearly. You're never going to be without.
Clearly. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm never without. I never have to be without. And I trust myself to give it away and not hoard money, because why would we do that when so many people need things? Mm. If people need things as simple as a good day. My DMs are littered with me just sending people money. Like, that's what nobody knows. Like, I'll see somebody's post and they'll be like, today sucks. I really wanted to get this album. And I'm like, what's your Venmo?
Oh,
that's all day, every
that's
day.
That's nice.
And you feel happy doing that. And they're happy and everybody get what they wanted. And
that's awesome.
What's the problem?
Well, I also think it kind of comes back to the woman who cleans my toilet. Is that you have a small, how many people, five, six people in your staff?
These
are your employees.
Yeah.
And I think you've learned a lesson that so many bosses have not, especially, I mean, you and I both come from corporate, but especially like an independent business, you know, you're making all the decisions about how you're going to spend your money and how you're going to treat your employees.
Yes.
And I've seen it through the stories that you share, and I imagine it happens tenfold over in what I don't see. But you keep them happy.
Absolutely.
You keep them wanting to come to work, wanting to do right by you and the store. And that's it.
Because we're an independent concept and we're community-based entrepreneurship.
Yes.
So you have to care enough about the community, but you can't do that if you have things going wrong in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Like when people, and that's most people in retail,
you
don't have enough money to pay your bills. So
why do you care about selling this? Right.
I'm at work trying to make enough money to carry my bills.
That's right.
And if you're unable to do that,
yes,
then why would I care about helping the community and selling books and giving books away to people? Yes. I can't care because I am not covered. And so I make sure my people are paid more than enough to be covered. They're bonus out all the time. They're this, that, and the other. Because the last thing you have to worry about is the cost of living.
Yeah.
Now all you have to worry about is giving back where we can.
Yeah.
And it works.
And it works.
It's crazy,
I mean,
right?
You should be like, girl, pay your employees. Write that book.
Imagine that.
Right.
And people ain't gonna do it.
No, of course not. Because they're hoarding money.
They're hoarding money.
I mean, it's a lesson for all of us because I feel like food insecurity and money insecurity is very often tied together. And that, like, if you don't know where your next paycheck is coming from, you kind of are like, I can't do anything with this yet. I feel like you've gotten to the point where you're comfortable. I want you to I need you to go back in your archives and find, was it Christmas when everyone got a MacBook?
Christmas.
That was just a Saturday.
June. Yeah, it was June. All of my college students, we went, my store manager and I, we went to Best Buy. We got everybody MacBooks. Everybody has iPhones now because I get tired of seeing the green bubbles. I don't want those green bubbles in my
Talk
life.
Talk to Dan. So, he's got a green bubble. I'm going to make
that.
Dan DM
Why
you and be like, please buy me an iPhone.
Please give me an iPhone. I hate that. I know. I hear you.
So
I want, if I'm using a MacBook and I can airdrop things and I'm trying to airdrop something to you.
It's a business.
You got Lenovo.
Right.
No offense to Lenovo. It's great, but not in my store.
But not if everyone else has iPhone.
I mean, everybody.
Again, this is an Apple problem, not really an us.
Apple.
We need to adapt.
I loved
watching that video.
I love that video.
They were so happy.
They didn't know what to do.
No, they didn't know what to
do. And since then, I'll be like, oh, here's a $1,500 bonus. Go do something for yourself. Oh, here, I bought you whatever you spoke about last week. Like, it's great. For Christmas, we gave our employees a $5,000 bonus apiece. We are an independent bookstore.
So this is where
we don't have any money.
This is where I announced to you guys, I'm quitting the podcast. I'm going to work
Absolutely.
For Danny.
Absolutely.
I love all your employees. I feel like I know them now.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my God, it's Nate.
Everybody knows Nate. People love Nate.
Everyone loves me. But that video made me so happy because it was just, there was a part of that video where you're like, this is for you. And they're like, no.
No, it's not.
Yeah, they're
right.
Like, no, I'm not. Like, you could tell they were like,
what do I do?
Open it, it's your computer.
It's you, get it.
Like the rose gold MacBook.
Yes.
And they were just so happy. And I just imagine that shows up. And you get so much out of them because they're so excited to come to work.
They are
work
so
for
excited.
You.
My team, they are a group of my favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
And they recognize that this is bigger than us. This is bigger than this team in here. We are trying to get people to read. We are trying to get people to understand community entrepreneurship models.
Mm.
We don't have to have all the money in the world in our account. The money is coming. People support us because we support one another and we support our community.
Yep.
That's important. Now, if we go spiraling down, at least we had a good time.
Yeah. Okay. I'll text you on your iPhone.
I was about to say, text me on my iPhone because at least I got it. You know, growing up poor, we used to have this thing. And it's like you always, whenever you buy an expensive purchase, you save the box because you might have to sell it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was telling my team, throw your boxes away. We're not going to get to the point where you have to sell this or anything like that. But sometimes that imposter syndrome creeps in.
It does.
I'm like, I could lose. Because of these decisions I'm making that are not smart business decisions, but mind you, smart business decisions are based solely on capitalism and a capitalist society, and I don't want to adhere to that. And so they're smart for me, and they work for me, but we could very well hit zero. And at that point, I'm still not going to rethink. I'm going to do this again another way.
Yeah.
Because it's okay.
Yeah.
I've been at zero.
Yeah.
I've managed at zero.
Yeah.
I've built it up to here. I want to build it up some more. But if I go back to zero before I have to build it up some more, that's fine too.
I come from the media industry where in COVID, so many people got laid off.
Yes.
And I get it. You know,
you can't afford
corporate.
To keep them.
Right, exactly.
I put that in quotations, y'all.
But the shittiest part is that you sometimes, and especially when you're young, and I know better now, but I remember being like 23 and you go into your job and like, we're family here. We're all family until the money that they're making isn't enough to keep them over the line. And then you are no longer family and you're out.
And you're out. And nobody talks to you. And you don't even get to keep your email address.
Right. They have blocked you off of your Slack.
They blocked you off of your Slack. This is how I talk to
and
people.
That's shitty because they co-opt all this language that I'm sure that like you actually say to your employees and mean, which is like you are family.
Yes.
You know, we're in this together. Now, do your employees own any sort of stock in the?
Yes, they do.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And there you go.
And we're working on this together. They all have a 1% stock ownership and semicolon. And it's own. a lot of people say you gave your employees stock just for working. And I'm like, just for working. We exist because of who they are.
Yeah. And they're now invested. This is
theirs. They're invested. Semicolon wouldn't be semicolon if they weren't here. Are you crazy?
Right.
No company would be itself without its employees.
Yes.
And if anybody thinks otherwise, you're crazy. You, Mr. CEO, making $10 billion a year. If you think you can do this without any of your employees and staff, you are stupid and you don't deserve your job.
It's true.
And most of them don't deserve their job anyway.
And really true. So. Now, how do you feel about that, thinking about Jeff Bezos? I'm going to bring it back.
Bring it back.
I'm going to catch you.
Oh, you and your journalism skills. Look. You're not new to this.
Pulling them out. I haven't done it in a while, but I just saw myself
when
doing it.
When it comes to Jeff Bezos, what I do think is this. I think that he has gotten himself carried away.
Mm.
Now, ex-wife Mackenzie is doing the
thing, okay?
She's doing the things that he should be doing, but he's too he's busy buying bitches. He can't afford to give money back to employees right now. I think I think what Jeff realizes is that he has gone awry from his initial, what he initially intended to do.
That's right.
And now he's so far awry, and you have all these investors that you have to uphold. And that's part of the problem too. Most of these corporate companies have investors. You have to make X amount of dollars.
Yes.
To make sure that the investors who put money into your company get paid. I will never have outside investors at semicolon because I ain't making money for you. You ain't shooting in the gym.
Right.
I am throwing these boxes every day. I am talking to these weirdos all day. You are not. So you can't make money off of my company.
You're but so right.
That is the corporate way. They bring in all this money and they're trying to just stack up their accounts so that they can make the moves.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're also doing is allowing people who are not doing any work to partake in the money
to basically
make.
Have ownership
Absolutely.
Over what you're gonna.
Absolutely.
That's true. And it's so true in the media business also, which is why you're seeing so many layoffs now. If people don't realize this, a lot of these companies, the BuzzFeeds of the world, you know, the Vices of the world, a bunch of them who I've worked for before, they all started around 10 years ago. And now that it's 10 years later, you have the investors being like, okay, like we gave you X million dollars 10
where's
years
my
ago,
money?
Where's my money?
And now they're pulling their money out and you have to fire people to give these investors their money.
Yes.
So let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
When you don't have money to do the things you need to do, you might want to do something else.
Yeah.
One would think instead of stacking up all this money and now you're a fake unicorn and you're a unicorn and then 3 years later you're completely bust and bankrupt. That doesn't make sense.
Speaking of documentaries, the WeWork documentary. Something to watch.
Because, you know, WeWork was taken over everywhere.
Yeah.
And then all
and
of
the
a
wing.
Sudden it's...
Yeah.
and the wing. The wing was not built for black women, but that's a whole other conversation, honey.
It was not.
It was not welcoming for black women. It's kind of like, why are you here? You don't have a real job.
It was tokenization at its finest.
Absolutely.
Too. And I say that as someone who was part of the wing for a while.
Yeah. You know how it felt in there.
I get it. Yeah.
It felt really bad. And really, you know, Soho House has a level of, but it's for creatives and creatives are pretty good with working with anybody. But the wing was... I never feel sad or out of place walking into anywhere.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I'm black, but I'm really dope, and I got a whole bunch of money. So you know what? I fit wherever.
I hope that's what you say every time you exit an elevator into a
every
space.
Every time.
Hi, I'm black,
I open
and I'm rich.
My eyes. But when I walk into spaces, and I have on sweatpants, and I didn't put on my makeup that day, and I also have on socks and flip-flops, and you're going to have to be okay with this because I can afford to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that constant... reassurance, and it's self-reassurance too, like because you naturally put your head down like these people are looking at me like I'm not supposed to be here, but it has nothing to do with whether or not you're supposed to be here.
Right.
And the wing was one of the few places that I've walked into and felt like I wasn't supposed to be there.
I mean,
it's odd.
Yeah.
It's really odd. And when a place can make me feel like that, when I don't even care, like I don't care. I don't care about
any of
these
people. Signal.
It's a signal. Mm-hmm. And I walked right out. The girl at the desk didn't even acknowledge me. And I'm like, hi, I want to get checked in, this, that, and the other. And she's like, oh, okay. And I was like, okay.
Jeez.
I'm out.
Okay. Bye.
I'll go work at the McDonald's. They
sure.
like me there.
Better Wi-Fi.
Better Wi-Fi anyway. They got AT&T.
I think part of, you know, the way that you do business is that you are constant. You don't play by the corporate rule book. And it works for you.
It works for me. For right now.
Sure.
I recognize that, again, some of my decisions could probably be better. We could have a stacked account if we didn't give away gave away $1 million last year. It's a lot of money. $1 million in books last year. That's a ton of money.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh yeah, how's the CPS? How's everything going with that?
It's so good.
Okay,
it's so
tell everybody good. Just in the beginning of the first interview. Tell us what you do.
So we allow CPS students who are not in school.
That's
right
Chicago
now,
Public School.
Chicago Public School to walk in and take books.
Yeah.
There is a language and a learning gap, especially in communities of color. Mm-hmm. Parents are unable to afford books. Books are considered a luxury item. We do not allow them to be considered a luxury item so long as we exist.
Nice.
If a kid comes into our store at any moment and wants a book and say they have four in their hand and they're like, well, I'm just going to get this one, I say take all four. And we have a secondary account built out just for that, where you have had all these people give us money.
Oh, what, me?
You!
Yeah.
You
Great.
Have had all these people give us money, and it has been amazing because it's what started. People didn't take us seriously when that was first created, and then you got on Twitter and you're like, hey, give money to these people. And then people are like, okay.
I know my strengths. One of them is telling people to give money to
and
other people.
And what ends up happening is people realize that these people have given money. I should give money too. And first of all, it's crappy that that's how things work.
It is.
But it works. And it gave us the start to be able to give these books away. And so kids who came in a year ago and got these books who are now coming in and they're avid readers.
Yeah.
We're like, it's working.
Yeah, it's working.
It's doing the thing.
And one of the things you told me about this whole entire thing is that Danny not only it's not about the tax write-off and it's not about it's more and you
we don't even get a good tax
no
write-off.
Right sure it's you've kind of taken into consideration every sort of aspect of children or families who feel othered in this situation. So there is no like, oh, can you prove that you can't afford
none of that.
It's just
none
like you want
that.
You got
so you want you got
yes
we give them books, we hand kids money, we give them Target gift cards, you know,
and they feel good, like
they feel great, they have a thing,
yeah,
and they walk away so happy, and we walk away knowing that we've done what we could. And so it's another one of those things, if we happen to close, if these decisions cause our demise, we did what we could. We affected people positively. And I remember being the kid that had no money to buy books. And I remember thinking, if you put $20 in my hand, I would buy a book. And my mom would cuss me out because that $20 is food for the night.
Right.
You know,
had said that. That's right.
And I want kids to feel comfortable purchasing books and reading books and sharing books with their friends, because literacy is the key to not spending a life in jail or working jobs that do not deserve, where you get called the lady who cleans somebody's toilet. Okay, like if you want to do that job, but don't let yourself
but you'll
be
able
othered
to walk away. Yes.
Exactly.
You'll
don't
be able
to forced into
away.
That position because of a lack of knowledge.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I love that. And I also know that at the beginning of the pandemic, you guys were doing food in your
so
downstairs
yes.
gallery space. I mean, Danny was really just, there was no sweatpants and Law and Order for Danny during
and
this pandemic.
And we had $1,000 in our account. I don't know how we were doing it. But
that's amazing.
But dope companies like Shake Shack and stuff, they just hit us up and they're like, we want to help too. And I was just like, thank you. But we had $1,000 and we would be like, all right, we got $250. We can get food for 100 kids.
That's awesome.
And that's what we did.
And were they coming in? And was
yes.
It, there was a
yes.
need.
There was a need. They were coming in. Their parents would come in and be kind of nervous to ask, like, if they could take food,
sure.
too, obviously. And they got food, too.
That's
and it's
great.
Just like, whatever we can do down to the bottom, we're going to give it all away.
I love that. Oh, I love that so much.
It works.
It works.
It's working.
I am so... And also, the other thing I wanted to follow up with you, when we talked about semicolon back in May, you said white people often walked by kind of afraid to come in because they were like, I don't know if this is for me. More white people coming in.
Girl.
Are they?
Now, we are 80% white people. It's all for white people. We might
you
see
should
black
only
people
let
on Saturdays.
A few men at a time. Like, I don't want to scare off the black people now because black people, you know, that's you walk right. into a space with a bunch of white people, you're uncomfortable.
And we're always like, no, we're black. I promise. Come in. We wave at people through the windows.
That's awesome. It seems like it's going so well.
It's going beautifully. It is surprising. Aww. I am ecstatic.
Yeah, you're doing a great
job.
This was
not supposed to work. This was not even supposed to exist. Yeah. And so the fact that it does, you know, I opened semicolon with $0 and whatever. Yeah. Here
and
we are.
There you are.
And it's amazing. And I'm grateful to continue being able to have the effect that we have on the computing. As long as we possibly can.
I love that. Well, my friend Caitlin got me a semicolon shirt for Christmas. Actually, I should have worn it today. I don't know why I didn't.
What are you doing?
Look, it's just me trying to get a job. I'm like, take me back to Chicago.
Come on.
I can work with Nate.
You can work with Nate. Everybody can work. Nate is everybody's favorite. He's our store revolutionary. Oh. So he's going to have you reading books like Malcolm X and Blood in My Eye and stuff like that.
Sign me up.
He also loves people so much. So he'll work a full day and be like, okay, I'm going to do some community service. And that's Nate.
That's amazing. You guys are doing something so incredible. And it's such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm so happy about this. We have to just cap off the show just in the vein of G Thanks Just Bought It, stuff you bought.
Oh,
I
want
to go back. Well, so for the first show, so you know, some people I ask on the show and I understand, you know, who has time to listen to podcasts? Some people are like, okay, well, you know, what do I have to pair? I'm like, just bring something you love, bring something you learn. Danny got it from the jump. She's like, I'm bringing the Amazon back scratcher that everyone in my family has. The cats have it, the dogs have it, Kimmy has one.
Everybody has their own, and it saved my relationship. Yes. I am now a fiance and I wouldn't be a fiance without it.
There is a boat in there is a boat coming for Danny because she has her own back
because
scratcher.
I have my own back scratcher.
So tell me,
there's
what
another
else?
Thing.
Tell me,
it's the stupid little thing. It's from Amazon.
Okay, Jeff Bezos.
Your
best
you doing
friend.
It.
I get
okay?
it.
And you put your perfume. You put your travel perfume in it.
Okay.
Have you ever seen one
no.
of those? It is a mini cylinder.
So it's like like when you put your shampoo in the
yes,
but it's for
but
perfume.
It's for perfume, and so you don't have to try to spray your perfume in there. No, no, no. You take the top off your perfume and you and it fills itself up, and then you just put it in your bag. It's no work.
Damn.
It is the best thing. And I'm a perfume thot.
Okay.
I have a million of them. I love them. I like smelling like heaven. It's important.
I love that. What's your go-to?
Aqua di Gioia.
Bringing me back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I want to smell like the beach on a good day. Not the day that all the fish are dead.
Not the day the seals are
not
shitting
the
on the sand.
Right.
I get it. Okay.
I don't want to.
I mean, I kind of figured that out, but I'm glad you said
you
it.
You know, but that, I just like to take my perfumes with me, but when I buy them, I buy the big bottle. And you don't want to pack that, especially if you're only doing a carry-on.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, do I get... Now, this is a first world problem.
Okay.
When I get to a place, I'm like, dang, I got to go all the way to Sephora and get some perfume just to wear for this trip.
Right.
Because I didn't check a bag.
Yeah.
No, I don't anymore. Because I go on Amazon and I spend $6 to get a set of mini capsules that are just...
Nice. And do you have a label maker?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And some of them, you don't even need a label maker. You just draw it right on there because they have a special sticker that works with pens.
Yes.
And that's... You want to change your life. You want to feel good. You want to switch it up. Like during the day,
yes.
I want to smell like the beach. At dinner, I want to smell like roses. And I can switch it up.
I love
I can
that.
Bring them all if I want to.
Yeah.
And they all fit because TSA is a joke. But what they...
That's really true.
It's a joke. It's
I've gotten
bullshit.
A razor through carry-on.
All the time.
So many times.
But if they're in the mood to bother you,
yes.
the number of razors and vibrators I get through on a regular basis.
Totally. Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that you go through security. I mean, like I've had drugs on. Like I've had, you know, you're
real
bringing
drugs,
weed
yeah.
back from California.
Yeah.
You're bringing your prescription pills that doesn't... You know, I have them in one bottle that looks like I bought them off the street. So
yes.
there's that. But then I'm always like, don't take my like La Mer lotion.
Please,
I spent a lot
this
of money on that.
My Aesop.
Yeah.
My Aesop.
Right. Don't take it from me. And I get it. I get a little nervous.
Yeah.
The perfume I've never even considered. I don't even think I bring perfume with me.
That's my problem.
Yeah,
like I'm a perfume
and
girl.
That's
this
you.
Is a $400 bottle. You will not be throwing this away.
Right.
Mike and TSA.
Yeah.
He's always a Mike. He's always
off.
A douche.
Yeah.
He's like, what
yeah,
is this?
He's flexing.
Right, he's flexing. He's like, let me open up your bag. And you're like, it's perfume. Have you ever seen that before?
probably not, yeah. right?
You ever bought this for anyone?
You ever bought this
for anyone? Got no one
right.
to buy it for?
Right. No, I went to Mexico, and I'm coming back from Mexico. When I go to Mexico, I buy all my prescription jokes that don't need prescriptions.
Yes. Because
why not?
Wow.
And so, like, all the Xanax and stuff, all the good stuff that you just give to people when they're having a moment. Yeah. yeah. And I bring back 100 bottles. Okay.
Or should I cut this out of the...
No, it's fine. Because we're allowed to get it and bring it back,
okay.
right? So I'm thinking they're going to stop me for that because it's in a carry-on.
Yeah.
And instead, they stop me for the freaking Dolce and Gabbana.
Like, I'll trade you. To keep my Dolce, I will give you the 500 Xanax. I have the controlled drugs.
They
you can
take,
have those.
They take the perfume out. They're like, you got to get rid of this. Really?
Really?
How fine. Do you want me to
right.
do that?
Right.
Fine.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And that's how, this is just a reminder that TSA is a joke. It's not a real thing. It was made up.
It's security theater after 9/11.
It is.
Yes. I always follow those TSA Instagram accounts where, like, we recovered a gun. I'm like, huh. And you probably missed a few more. Like, for every gun that TSA finds, there's 10.
I have traveled with a gun with no problems.
Have you really?
Absolutely. I'm from the South, girl. I always got a gun.
Do you carry?
Yes.
Are you carrying right now?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. All right, everyone, if you
if somebody comes,
if you haven't heard from me on Instagram in a few days,
it's because I lost my shit. No,
I asked her too many questions about Jeff Bezos.
It was Jeff Bezos. I am from the South, and the South just has a different level of mindset. In the South, like, you know, everybody in the room likely has a gun, and so you never feel like you compelled to pull yours.
Have you ever pulled yours? Okay.
Not even in Chicago. Never had to.
I trust you with a gun.
Yes.
I don't know why, because you're probably about to kill me. But, like, I trust you with a gun.
Yeah,
I don't trust most people with a gun. I'm very afraid of guns. I'm very anti-gun.
Okay. Okay.
But how do you feel as a black woman with a gun?
I feel safer. Okay. Because it's not black people or robbers or anything that scares me. It's white people with guns. I'm going to tell you the truth. If a white person with a gun walks into a space that I'm in, my hand is on the clip.
Okay.
Automatically. Especially since Chicago is not open carry. But, you know, you can have it on you. Like, with your car. You can have it and you know you have it. Or it's in your bag or something like that. Something about white men with guns. Mm-hmm. They are unhinged already, and they think the world is out to get them, so they kind of, even cops, overreact when they have a gun in hand.
Yes.
I don't overreact. You know, Chicago right now, it's a lot of robberies happening. Okay. Like, they're just stealing people's cars, and I'm like, take the car. I'm not going to kill you if you take my car. I wouldn't even pull my gun for that reason.
Okay.
You know, but if I feel directly threatened, and it's typically going to be by a white male because those are the only people I feel threatened by, I'm going to shoot them, and we'll see what happens.
You heard it here first.
Yes.
I mean, I kind of respect that. Like, I mean, in a way, and I'm staunchly anti-gun because I have been affected by gun violence.
Understood.
But also, like, the gun violence I'm afraid of is white men, because those are the people who bust into churches and shoot people.
Theaters.
Yeah.
The movie theaters.
Yeah, their schools. Their
grocery store.
Bookstores.
I can't even be at the grocery store. Everywhere.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, Southern. So I've been carrying a gun since I was 10. Mm-hmm. But also, my family owns a farm. And so the gun is not for you. It's for things.
Yeah, right. Sure.
You shoot it in the air to move the animals out of the way and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you get really comfortable with it. You would never have a real reason to shoot a person. Who would shoot a human being?
Right. White man.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. No, so I get that.
Even being off the farm when I'm in Chicago, when I'm in LA, when I'm anywhere, it's always on me. You would never know, because why would you?
Yeah. And you're also you're not carrying like an AR-15. Well, I mean,
why does anybody have an AR-15?
I'm like, I'm ready for it to be like, actually.
No.
No. Right.
Why does anybody have access to an AR-15? I got a 9. A 9 is fine. It's pretty. It's pink. It fits where I want it to be.
Sure.
AR-15?
Yeah.
What am I doing? What are you doing that needs to be done with an
AR-15?
And
those are always the weapon of choice.
They're the weapon of choice. Why are people allowed to buy those?
Does Kimmy carry?
She absolutely does.
Oh, my God. Two.
Also country.
I'm just imagining, like, the boat not showing up and Danny pulling the gun. Kimmy, give me the boat.
Give me my boat. No. So we just got this new place.
Yes,
and
it's really beautiful.
It's beautiful. And so, but we come from families who don't have anything.
Okay.
And sometimes in your families, when they don't have anything, they will
pull a Jack or, you know, do something like that. And it sucks that you have to protect yourself in that way. But we live on a block and we are, people know us. They think we have more than what we have, or they could be right. But either way, they think they can take what we have because we're so accessible. I'm in my store every day. She's in her office every day. We're very, very accessible. Mm. And sometimes people think that accessibility is an easy lick.
It's vulnerability.
It's vulnerability. Yeah. And it is not. You could try. Sure. It's going to get fun.
I also feel like I get it in that, you know, through history, mm-hmm. you have learned you are not protected in the same way I am protected.
I am not protected. I don't expect anybody
to come to
my rescue. And I feel so much more confident in that knowledge when I can come to my own rescue. I stay in classes. I stay at the gun range. I shoot better than 90% of these cops. I can assure you that.
I imagine the number is higher.
But there would never be a point where I have to shoot.
But you like having that security.
I like having the security of knowing
that. I think it makes sense.
It only makes sense. I feel better. I'm more comfortable, especially in my store.
Yeah.
We've had white people come in and like try to harass us. Like, they could try. And I'm like, but only if it got to a certain point, if I had to protect my team and the other people who were in the store, would something even occur.
What do you feel about, like, in that kind of situation, like, would you call cops or no?
God, it's such a hard question. I should be able to call the cops, right? But I feel like as soon as I call the cops, I would end up getting arrested, or Nate, because he's a black male.
Yes.
My team would get arrested, and then we have to explain that out. Now, what I would do is we have a plan for the store is, call the attorney, then call the cops. The attorney would ideally beat the cops there. The attorney can talk to the cops for us.
Wow.
Because we are a black space and it's a bunch of black people and they're going to come in guns drawn and you're drawing your gun on the wrong people.
Yes.
So you attorney know. Attorney first.
I mean, these are the things I don't have to think about.
Yeah, no.
And that's fucking nuts.
It's nuts. And it feels shitty that we are afraid to call the cops for if, you know, we've had homeless people in our store that have gotten unruly. And even then we don't call the cops because I don't want
to
deal.
It's not going to end well.
Mm-hmm. We are a black space and the cops are going to pull up and know it's a black space and they're going to see all these black people in it and something can go horribly wrong. And it is sad and it is scary and it is the reason why we just keep ourselves covered.
No, that does make sense. It's a different perspective. One that I think I probably considered but haven't thought that deeply about.
Mm-hmm.
So it does, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Kim and I have a hard rule at our house. Like, whatever happens, we're not calling the cops. Don't shoot each other. We never see each other's guns. We never have to. Like, there would never be a reason for that. Right. There would never be a reason for that to occur. We would never pull it out. We don't even go to the range at the same time, but no calling the cops.
No.
Because they're not going to believe that we live in our house.
Yes, that's right. That's crazy.
And that's a whole other thing. Like, the rule is do not call the cops. We will figure it out later.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have to call the cops, call our attorneys first. Both of our attorneys, our entire attorney teams are white. We should be fine. Call one of them.
Yeah.
Get them here first.
Call your white
to talk
teams.
To the cops.
That's why you pay them.
That's why we pay. It's a different reason for paying them. And it's protection for us as black people. The cops are not going to believe we live here. We're going to be arrested and or shot before we can even explain that somebody else was breaking into our home.
Right.
It's problematic.
Right.
And no.
100%. I mean, I think the guy who, you know, called his manager on George Floyd because it was a fake 20.
Like, this all could have been avoided.
And he said that. He was like, this could have been avoided. I'm racked with guilt. But we are all, especially like, you know, growing up white in a predominantly, actually 100% white place, it's like, the cops are your friend, you call them all the time, call the cops. And it's like,
that's funny that you said that, because that's like a white woman's song. It's like, call the cops, call 100%. The cops. Everybody call the cops.
100%.
Something feels off, call the cops
right now.
Why on earth would I
just
ever
call
do
the cops.
That?
It's crazy. And then you see something like what's happening in New York City with, you know, elderly Asian people getting harassed, punched in the face, killed
for no reason,
and no one's calling the cops. And especially living in a big metropolitan area like New York, like LA, like Chicago, it's like you're not calling like the town cop who you went to high school
that you know, and they
know
you,
and
you're calling somebody
who
has no idea who you are
and who's trigger happy, and
who's
like horny for conflict.
Again, white men and guns, and they're uncomfortable around anything and are gonna pull the gun.
Mm.
black people have guns all the time.
Yeah.
And it's because we'll probably get shot first. Yeah. But honestly,
there's more thought.
If you go for your gun, and that's what all black people say, if you go for your gun first, you might want to find another job. If it's gun first, you're in the wrong profession. Yeah. That's all.
It's true. I mean, you should be writing a book about jobs and who shouldn't be doing the ones that they're doing. I love it. And so, we've been talking. We could obviously talk forever.
Of course.
But tell me about, you're getting married. What's the plan?
Girl, listen, you know me. I'm a courthouse kind of girl. Like,
good.
Wrap it up.
Fun.
And let's have everybody come to the house and we're going to have a party.
Yes.
And Kim is very formal. She's like, hey, I didn't spend all that money on that ring for you to not show it off in a church, okay?
You always want to church?
Any church that would have the lesbians.
Sure. There's a lot of unified.
There's some good ones.
Yeah.
So we're in between. Like, I am happy. If she wakes up tomorrow and it's like, let's go to the courthouse, I'm like, cool. Now, first we had to shore up this prenup. We are both very, very interested in the prenup.
Yeah. Great. Perfect.
In the process.
Two rich women. You gotta be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And once that's shored up, I want to go to Tulum and just rent out an entire resort.
Oh, I love that.
For just our friends.
Great.
Oh, I want the whole thing. That's going to be difficult to do. We're going to have to kick some people out.
Right.
That's okay. And we rent the entire resort and we fly all of our friends here and everybody chills for the week.
Wow, love
Every
it.
Every day is a different party. And then on the day before the last day, that's the actual wedding.
Yes.
Or we do it on the first day so everybody can be drunk the rest of the time.
Now, I'm surprised at you saying courthouse because I kind of think of you as big dress photo
fancy
moment.
Yes. So it's yes and no.
Okay.
Like, I feel like I'm so seen by everyone.
Sure.
I think people would love to see me in a princess.
That's just
gown
me asking for that. That's what I want. Yeah.
A lot of people want that. And that's going to be great. And I'll keep it on for 15 minutes, which is enough time to walk down the aisle. And I'm putting on my J's, okay?
Sure.
I got to put my Jordans on and I got to put on my Hoochie Mama shorts because I'm twerking at my reception. And you know what you can't twerk in? A princess gown.
That's totally right. That is right. You got to get like the photos. And then you change.
And then I change.
And then
I'm
going to
put on
that
a short set, and I'll even put on a tie for the people if they like it. I am twerking the whole time. I'm going to be drunk. We will not have mixers at our bar. So guess what?
Pure liquor.
Let's do it and see what these videos look like and look back in 10 years.
I hope I'm just showing up. I'm going to find out when your wedding
Absolutely.
Is.
No, I'm sending you an invite.
I'm coming.
Because y'all got to come.
I'm coming.
We're going to be turned up.
I'm ready.
If you've never been to a black wedding... It's a fun time. You know, there are weddings where people are really concerned with the looks of things.
Yeah.
Black people are concerned about two things. The DJ.
Yeah.
And the drinks.
Sure.
That's it.
That's
Is
it.
Is everybody on the floor the whole night?
Yeah.
If you want to work out for the next 6 months in 3 hours, that's where you need to be.
Do you guys have an idea of what would your song be?
So our song is Anita Baker's Giving You the Best That I Got, which is hard for us, which is why we gotta wait until she figures out her master stuff. She's telling people not to stream her music and stuff right now because she's trying to get her masters. So now we gotta wait on that. But that's our song because it describes us like we were singular, we were happy, but we really do give each other the best that we have. And then from there...
Right.
It's Whistle
wait.
While You Twerk.
Yeah.
Yin Yang Twins.
Just that. Even
just
flow right
just
into
just
that.
Right, and we can go right into
oh,
it.
Oh, I love
giving
it.
Giving you the best that I got. Like, we're going to have the DJ mix it, and right there around that mid mark, now it's Whistle While You Twerk. Everybody on the floor, let's do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't have to send me an invite. I'm just coming.
You
I'm like, oh my God,
ball.
You're here too. That's
crazy. That's
crazy.
I'm here. I'm going to be like, did you bring your gift?
Oh no, the gifts are, trust, I'm paying my way. I'm paying to play, Danny. Don't worry. You are
set. Pay to play.
I'm coming in on a boat. And I'm like, hey girl.
It's going to be a good time,
toot,
though.
Toot.
I am excited. Kim is very laid back, but me and all my Southern family, her and her family, they're all like,
where are
they're
they
Chicago.
From?
They're Chicago.
Chicago. Okay.
So they're like highfalutin.
Yeah.
And they're fancy. And they're like, do you have the table settings?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't care about none of that. We're having ribs and macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
And we're going to be on the floor.
Yeah. And you're going to be blacked out. You won't even know.
You won't even know. So I think there's going to, as we're planning, her mom and my mom are going to have a good time.
Do they like each other? Do they get along?
They do. They get along great. Beautifully. Our siblings awesome. Get along with each other beautifully.
It's so fun.
But Kim is going to be like, does it have to be like this? And yes, it does. Because I want to have a good time. I don't want to have the fancy wedding where everybody's like, oh, it's so nice to see you. I don't care about none of that. I want everybody to run up to people and be like, what's up? Yes. I don't even know you, but I'm having
and
the best
you know
time.
What, though? You're going to get the added bonus of a post-COVID wedding where people are, like, dying to just dying cough on each other and, like, just let me lick everyone's face.
In the spaces.
Yes.
Yes. And so I'm excited. So hopefully we can do it around, like, August, September.
Amazing.
Yeah, we're opening a restaurant. And so, like, all of these
Wait,
things.
You're opening a restaurant?
Yeah, Kim and I are opening our first restaurant.
You really sleep 4 hours? Like, 4 hours seems like a lot.
It seems like a lot, right? It's like three-ish. But, yeah, no, we're opening our first restaurant.
Amazing.
Yeah, and it's
Wait,
like.
Wait, what restaurant? So what we're can calling you tell
it,
us?
So, it's really cool. We hope to open. We hope to be open by August. We're in the construction section now. And it is called 1308 Chicago. We are focusing on cocktails. You know, we notice that a lot of Black restaurant concepts do not, you know, cocktails are secondary, food is first.
Okay.
And food is important, but cocktails, okay?
Okay.
And so we want to be like, if anybody's been to the Aviary in Chicago,
sure.
which is owned by the same people who own Alinea, which is an amazing space. Yeah. And like, we want our cocktail game to be up there. And so we're coming in swinging.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
That's amazing.
So we working.
I can just go home and feel like I haven't done enough in my life now. Wait, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm excited.
Well, now I know where I'm going when I come to Chicago.
Absolutely.
That rules. Oh, yes. I love that. Danny, this has just been the joy of my
good
life.
Good times. Good times.
Always. And I'm so happy. And this was just so wonderful.
We really ran the gamut on this
I was
one.
Say,
we all
covered it all. Like, Jeff Bezos apologist over here.
Nobody's going to listen to this whole thing.
No. Everyone's going to listen. Do you know? I still get comments being like, oh, I just listened to your episode. Like, it's been months.
That's nuts.
You better be ready. There's going to be like headlines about this.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
And be like, right. Exactly. Exactly. I invited myself to your wedding. I'm going to call. I'm like, how much money we got? We got to get a boat.
We got to get a boat.
Is the boat coming?
The boat ain't coming. Huh. You know what? She tricked me about the boat, but she bought me a house. And
okay.
I'll take the house.
We'll take the house.
It's fine.
You know.
But give me a few years. If I stop giving away so much money, I could get my boat. Unfortunately, I'm not going to stop. And so it's going to take about 5 years, and then I'll have my boat.
Do you have a name for your boat ready?
Babbage.
She just dropped. She didn't have to think.
Didn't even have to think. This is the bad bitch.
And what
she
kind of
is
boat?
Approaching us. I need a yacht.
We have the bad bitch out here.
The bad bitch. The bad
You're
bitch is here.
A yacht.
Absolutely.
Right.
Both. You know? It's like you got to do the thing. It's a thing now.
Amazing. Danny, thank you so much for just like everything. Just being
doing,
you.
That's it.
Just being you. Tell Nate I said hi.
Of course.
Tell everyone I said hi. I can't wait for my first trip to Chicago. I hope the restaurants open. I'll be there in my semicolon shirt.
Could you? Because you didn't wear it here.
I know.
It was a fail. You could have done better.
I didn't do that.
You could have done better. It's disappointing.
Girl, wear your shirt. That's Rachel Hollis, if you're out there. Stop writing books.
Stop it.
All right, you guys. I am going to try to link to as much as what we talked about. If you're in the market for a boat, just contact Danny. She'll tell you what to get.
I got you.
She'll tell you what to get. But if you're also in the market for some travel perfume, especially now that we're thinking about traveling,
yes.
She has the hookup. I'll get you that link. And I'll see you next week for another episode.